Chad Brackelsberg knows avalanches intimately. He's been the executive director of the Utah Avalanche Center for many years. And while he's retired, he's still working with the organization. As he says, he's bad at retirement. His deep love and commitment to snow science and the outreach by the UAC has literally saved lives in the Wasatch Back. Let's listen to his story. Okay, so hi, Chad. Thank you for coming in.
Hi, Andrew. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So you walked in your ski outfits. You look like you're going to go compete somewhere.
Nope, just a quick little exercise on the way into the studio.
So tell me, how long have you lived in Park City and what brought you here?
Yeah, I moved to Park City in the winter of 2004, I guess the fall of 2004. And I'd moved to Utah in 2002. Excuse to get out of the Midwest and the flatlands and to really live out a dream of living in the mountains.
2004, that's good. Wow, you've seen some big changes since 2004.
It is not the same town we used to live in.
Uh-huh. And some people say that, and I wonder, does that ring like is a positive thing or not? I don't know. What do you feel like? Are the changes good?
Yes, as we look out the window, I see they're building the massive tent for the last Sundance, one of the party venues or whatever it might be. And when I drove in, as I kind of a little nostalgic seeing that being put up.
Yeah, me too. So. I felt the same. Like, darn it. Why are they leaving? You were on the air for many years. How many years did you do the avalanche report?
So I've been with the Utah Avalanche Center. I was there for about 8 years. Yeah, I guess a frequent guest at the studio in a number of different ways. I was helping to spread that avalanche message across the Wasatch Back. Yeah, came out of grad school with a master's in microbiology and spent a few years doing cancer research on childhood leukemia. Moved into the tech industry and spent about 22 or so years working in tech consulting. A great change, really, to move to the UAC and really got to follow a passion of avalanches and snow science, lead an organization that I really cared a lot about and that does so much for the community of the Wasatch Back. It's truly a highlight of my career.
Snow science.
Snow is such a strange item, and it's kind of living and it's always changing. And to stay safe in the backcountry, you have to understand as much as you can. So you gain this interest of what causes the snow to become less safe or more safe, and how can you start to really identify that so that, yeah, I want to be in the backcountry skiing as many days a week as I can, and I want to do that until I'm in my 80s. And
have you ever been in an avalanche?
I have not.
I mean, not that one that you caused, you know, on purpose?
I have not been caught in an avalanche. I have been part of a group that has had an avalanche accident, and once is enough. You don't want to do it twice, Pete.
Is everybody okay?
Everybody was okay.
Oh, thank goodness.
And we all learned a lot from it.
Was this before your tenure at the center? Or
it was actually 13 years ago last Saturday. So we've actually been talking it over again, just sort of as an anniversary of that date of, you know, what we learned and how we've changed what we do since then.
Can you impart what you learned? Tell me. I don't backcountry because I'm just, I like my blues and I like my groomers and I'm just happy to be out there. But so tell me what you learned. My goodness.
You really learn if you look deep. You learn at what mistakes might you have made. And so, you know, we made a few mistakes that day, from communication to not understanding the avalanche problems as clearly as we should have, to not understanding even the slope that we were on that day. And so,
can you give me any more information about this avalanche?
Yeah, you know, it was a avalanche in Mill Creek in an area called Depth Hoar Bowl. It had actually slid the day before. We didn't know it had avalanched the day before until we got there. Just weren't really communicating what we were going to ski. And then, you know, all of a sudden somebody ventured off of the bed surface into some hang fire that triggered, and it caught him on his way down. And so in the end, it was a benign avalanche. No one got hurt. Yeah, maybe our egos, but...
Do they make a noise?
They can. It really depends on the avalanche. You know, you might hear it thundering down behind you. You might sometimes when they trigger, you might feel a big collapse of the snowpack as it drops. Sometimes you can hear kind of this woof sound that they can make as all those layers collapse. But a lot of times you don't really notice it until it might be too late.
I was in a little bit of a science world for a while. I did a lot of Discovery Channel shows, and I was kind of like the volcano lady. So I went all over the world tracking volcanoes, flying over volcanoes, interviewing seismologists, you know, all the things. So you get kind of accustomed to seeing volcanic action, but I still, like, every time I see an avalanche, it freaks me out. There's something about them that are so awe-inspiring and terrifying at the same time. It's like a tsunami in snow or something, you know.
Kind of a showcase of what Mother Nature can do. And, you know, it's hard not to see a video of an avalanche or of a volcano going off and just thinking, wow, how's that even possible?
How's that even possible, yeah. You said you expanded the knowledge and the Avalanche Center's reach. What was the mission?
Yeah, it came into the Utah Avalanche Center at a really unique time of just absolute explosive backcountry growth. 2017, 18, 19, then especially when COVID hit in 2020, backcountry use was just skyrocketing. Yeah, it came in at a time with the necessary skills or the good background from business in the corporate world to really take advantage of that and grow the Avalanche Center's a reach for education awareness programs to really meet that need. So, you know, over just a few years, we tripled in size of program reach, our number of programs delivered. Really, when I started, I was the single summer employee, and now we have 9 summer staff members. So year round to keep the programs running and we've been able to reach more people with better access to avalanche information, better access to education. Backcountry rescue gear has improved, making it a little easier to perform rescues. But because of all that change, average fatalities each year of avalanche victims has dropped a little bit or stayed the same over that period. So it's a real testament to what really avalanche centers across the whole West are doing and how much they're accomplishing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does everyone need to know what to do in an avalanche?
I like the example of everybody growing up in Utah should have some basic avalanche awareness. And that's why the UAC developed the Know Before You Go program back in 2004, was to give those school kids that first introduction to what an avalanche is, because those kids who grow up here become really good skiers. They're the ones who are very prone to jumping out a resort gate, maybe ducking a rope. And as soon as you do that, you are in the backcountry. So giving kids these skills to understand when we leave that gate, it is the backcountry. There is no ski patrol. There is no avalanche mitigation. So you are responsible for your own safety.
It's just so incredible. So you really devoted your life to saving lives at the end. Plenty of people here that have you to thank for that. Okay, so tell me about the Wasatch Powder Keg.
So the Wasatch Powder Keg was one of the first ski mountaineering races in North America. And after racing that for a few years, my wife and myself and 2 other friends from Park City United, we really liked the event. We'll take it over. So we ran that for another 12 to 13 years, exploding.
What is the sport again?
So ski mountaineering is basically, it's almost like backcountry ski racing. So you race skinning uphill and skiing downhill. The early races, you'd have somewhere in the line of about 6,000 feet of climbing over 5 to 6 climbs and descents. And yeah, just the speed of people is amazing. You know, they do this in 2 hours.
Wow.
So what would be a full day of touring for most people, you know, is a quick little morning out for these racers.
Okay, put it in, like compare it to something I would know, which is being able to skin up PCMR. You know.
So I believe to the angle station, that's 1,300 feet. So basically you're doing that 5 times in 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we actually just hosted a World Cup at Solitude December 6th and 7th. And it premieres at the Olympics this year. And I say premiere, but it actually was part of the Olympics back in Chamonix in the 1920s. The World Cup is pretty amazing to see the World Cup come to Utah. And what was the true amazing part of it was the U.S. was a complete underdog. There was one Olympic spot left for either the U.S. or Canada. Whichever country finished the relay race with the most points went to the Olympics. The other did not. As I said, the U.S. was the underdog. And not only did we secure a ticket to the Olympics, but we actually won the gold at that race. And it was our first ever ski mountaineering gold World Cup gold medal. So it was pretty emotional and exciting just to see this all come down. When I got up to start setting course on Tuesday, half our course was still dirt. Solitude just did an amazing job. They had something like 11 snow guns on one small little piece of hill. They had to borrow snow guns from resorts. They had 3 and 4 groomers working for us to get the course ready. And then race morning, we woke up and there was 9 inches of 15% density snow. The winds had blown. Half the course that we'd put in was blown away. And everything was based on a 1 p.m.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, because it was going live. This was televised live in Europe. And so 1 p.m., the live television coverage started. So, like, we pulled it off, and I don't think anybody thought we could. And so it was a pretty fun experience and very rewarding.
That's amazing. You lived well, you know, like the show must go on moment,
yes,
you know? What are you most excited about, Chad?
You know, what I'm most excited about right now is the project I'm working on for the UAC. We're actually using machine learning and AI to model the snow. Really fascinating to you kind of blend some science along with my technology background, along with the passion of avalanches, to have this really neat, fun project that is mentally challenging every day.
So UAC still has you.
Yes.
You're retired, but not.
Yeah.
Retired-ish.
I like to say right now I'm failing at retiring. I'm very good at it.
Well, there you go. It's good to be passionate and keep on trucking with whatever you love. Thank you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Andrea.
Okay.